Hey, what's up? This is Justin Timberlake.
Yo, what's up? This is Robin Thicke.
Hi, this is Britney Spears.
Hey, this is Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, it's that little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, and you are in the mix with
WFOD. Left speaker.
Check.
Right speaker.
Check.
Mic.
Check.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
On the wheelbarrow full of dicks internet radio program.
America's Got Talent
Is
going to be in St. Louis January 26th.
Okay.
Let's get you out there, buddy. We're going to take you to America's Got Talent. You're going to show the world your skills.
What's my talent?
Smashing pussy.
Remember that, Travis?
When was that?
When Napier was funny?
That was a while ago.
Oh, man, the golden age.
The golden age of Napier.
Before he found a lady, before he found a house, before he got rid of that raccoon.
Well, technically, I didn't. I moved away from his house.
He's still there.
He outlived Napier, really. I want so much for it to be like the incredible journey with the cat and the dog, the two cats and the dog. But I
Homeward
want
Homeward Bound.
Yeah, I want it so much to be that the raccoon like is trying to find Napier and is going through all of these crazy adventures to get to him.
Return his charcoal briquettes to him.
No, I want to recreate that scene from Vacation where they accidentally leave the dog tied up behind the car. And then I drag the little fucker behind my car for a couple miles.
I pet a baby raccoon in a tavern Friday night.
Travis.
Yeah.
We're coming back to the baby raccoon in the tavern story.
Okay. Oh, okay. Do this?
We have to tell people, hello, welcome, it's Monday night. This is the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I'm joined, of course, by my co-host, Napier.
What's up?
And via Skype, the albino alligator, Mr. Travis Hulse.
GIM.
The phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND. I do encourage you to call if the mood strikes you.
Hey, it's a holiday weekend. You probably had today off. You probably had some cocktails. Chat with us.
We will be joined at the break by our new pal, Jensen Karp, whose book, Kanye West Owes Me $300, will be in stores June 7th. That Jensen Karp guy, Travis?
Yes, sir.
I'm a fan.
Big fan of that guy.
I am. I like him a lot. He's a really smart guy. He's articulate. I enjoy his podcast. He has a podcast called Get Up On This. I recommend you check that out because it's good. He used to be a rapper, Napier.
A good one.
He changed his mind?
Well, his mind was changed for him.
Mm.
He was signed to a $1 million record contract with Interscope Records, and they put all kinds of money into his album, and he worked with like the who's who of music at that time. And then, like, they just kind of shelved it and decided not to put it out. And then he just kind of, like, didn't rap anymore.
He should have signed with No Limit. Master P's
Where
outfit.
Is No Limit? Travis, is that still a thing?
I would imagine it probably still is, but they're probably a little bit more low-key than they were in the late 90s, early 2000s.
The Thomas Jackson Jr. in the chat is familiar with Jensen Karp. He was known as Hot Carl. That was
Hot
his
Carl!
Name. And now Jensen is a writer. You will know his work. He has recently been working with the Late Late Show doing James Corden's battle raps. He's teaching people how to rap.
I thought Craig Ferguson was on the Late Late Show.
No, it's James Corden now. He's a husky British fella.
Oh, he was in that sing-along Disney movie.
Yeah, yeah. And Jensen also worked with The Rock on the MTV Movie Awards. They made a rap song about Leonardo DiCaprio getting fucked by a bear.
Motherfucker, if nice. He worked with The Rock, I am automatically
That was actually the first time he was going to be on the show. He had to cancel because he had to go work with The Rock. And I can't say
I didn't
understand, Travis.
Of course you did.
If The Rock calls you and says, hey, I want to learn to rap, you go teach The Rock how to fucking rap.
You don't know what? Talk
to us.
If I had even the slightest chance of being able to like chat with The Rock for 5 minutes, I would blow off
I wanted to ask him how The Rock smells. I just wanted to know.
He probably smells like awesome.
He smells great. And like, even if he smells bad, it's still The Rock that smells bad, so it's great. I want to know about this raccoon that you pet.
Oh, two of them, actually.
You pet two raccoons.
Yeah, two raccoons,
Napier,
and also a chipmunk.
You are known as the raccoon guy.
I know that.
But have you pet a raccoon?
No, I heard them scream before. It sounds like an epileptic trying to scream during a fit.
Oh, when they hiss, too, it's nasty. Raccoons are not your friend. Like, no. If they don't like you, they're no. A hissing raccoon is fucking terrifying. But we went out the other night. The wife and I had gotten a babysitter, and we went out. We did our Buffalo Wild Wings trip and had some cocktails. And we stopped in this back. It's actually called Rusty's Backwater Saloon. We swung in there. We haven't been there for a bit. The last time we were there, actually, my son got tackled by a beagle dog that apparently just liked to harass customers of this place.
There was a beagle dog in the bar.
Yeah, we went for a fish fry.
Did they serve food?
Yeah, well, we went. Yeah, yes, it does. That's the thing. And they try to keep it on the down low, but they just like welcome nature into this tavern. But no, we went last time we went there, we went for a fish fry and we were greeted by this weird dog that chased us. As soon as we got out of our vehicle and, like, just grabbed my 4-year-old's pants and, like, decided to take him down, which he thought was fun. And then we sat down to eat our fish and, like, I don't know, 15 minutes later, this dog is roaming around the tavern as we're sitting down. And it decided to just jump up on this bench that this older couple was sitting on and, you know, just sniff their fish fry.
I didn't want to know Travis's whole background at this place. I want to know about petting the raccoons.
I'm trying to set up what kind of environment that this place is and why
it's a shitty place.
It's not. A lot of people go there. It's just you have to understand the area that I'm from and also like the adjoining town. It's very Polish rednecky.
Okay. So you pet a raccoon.
So I pet a raccoon. We showed up and we ordered a couple of Captain Morgan drinks after our Buffalo Wild Wings trip on the way home. And I noticed the owner, I kind of glanced over and he's just kind of sitting there in his overalls. And it didn't look right to me at first. And then I saw him just
being
kind
in
of
overalls didn't look right.
No, this other thing that he was casually stroking a tiny raccoon that was sitting in his lap. And that was interesting to me. And I kind of didn't really make any comment of it. I might have mentioned something to the wife and said, hey, look, owner of this bar is stroking a tiny raccoon.
It's not a domesticated animal.
Nope. No, it's not. It's quite wild and likes to eat garbage and also give people rabies.
Right.
But what really threw me off is when this guy was behind the bar and I noticed something moving around in his shirt. And then all of a sudden, a tiny chipmunk came out of his collar.
So this guy's like Snow White.
Yeah, this place was filled with wild animals last Friday.
Huh.
Was there a theme? Like, was it just wild animal night? Or
no, there was No, there was a couple of younger gals in there. There was one bartender, a guy that must work there, but was on there in his off hours. The owner was there. Me and my wife were there. And then three older ladies were sitting on the other side of the bar. So it wasn't a packed place. It was just a normal night at Rusty's, and they just welcomed the wildlife in. The guy, the raccoon that was in the owner's lap was not the only one. I heard rustling and kind of glanced over, and there was like a cat carrier, like a pet carrier. And in there was a raccoon that was not as nice as the one that was in the lap. He was making sounds and trying to get the fuck out of that cage.
That sounds like a fun night.
Actually. Petting a raccoon was quite fun, and petting a tiny chipmunk was also quite fun.
I can like hang and deal with that chipmunk thing that was being petting, but not the raccoon.
I've learned to not trust the raccoons. They try to break into my house. They were standing on each other's shoulders messing with the door handle. They're fucking assholes.
Mm-hmm.
They're cute
from a distance.
But they're assholes.
They're super cute, and that's the thing. I really enjoyed petting a raccoon, but I have thought many times about murdering raccoons and also chipmunks because I don't want them on my property.
You know, it's a wildlife kind of month here on the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. We talked last week about a guy who tried to kill himself by throwing himself in the lion pen, and I believe that I said that we shouldn't really be too concerned about it because people falling in animal enclosures isn't a common thing. And here we are a week later with a big story about a child falling in a monkey cage.
Gorilla cage.
It was a gorilla. It was a silverback gorilla.
See,
the silverback gorillas, Travis, I don't know if you know this, they're endangered.
And also, they're also terrifying animals.
People, not endangered at all.
No.
We can't be trusted anymore because it's happened 2 weeks in a row, so it's time that we act. So
make sure that you can't fall into one of those things.
That's a thing. Like, you know, there was that one person that died at a hockey game, so they put in the nets.
Yeah, one person died, and now there's nets everywhere.
We could do nets, or I was thinking, the thing is, can't just go shooting the silverback gorillas.
Well,
they're endangered. Napier.
Well, they did.
Speaking of silver, that's, I think, the Rock gave himself the nickname Silverback. So,
now, what if he had fallen in, like, panda enclosure? And, like, that's one of the last pandas. Are we going to extinct the pandas to save one little shithead?
Yep.
We were not.
I would kill every panda on the planet if I could cure AIDS immediately.
We're not curing AIDS. We're saving one little kid with a shitty mom. What we need is every zoo should have a rodeo clown that's like just on staff. He can do other things. He can tear tickets at the sea lion show. He can hang out. But he is always ready, in case this happens, to jump in and distract the silverback gorilla.
Well, they didn't just shoot the silverback. I'm sure they tried to get him away from the fucking kid.
Like they tried to shake cans full of rocks to see if they could distract him.
This is a great idea for season two of Zach Galifianakis' television show, Baskets.
Zoo rodeo clown.
He decides to be a rodeo clown at a zoo.
He just knows his day could be coming.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just they pay him really well. He's always ready to jump in. And see, now, like, why do they not shoot the bull every time a guy rides a bull and falls off?
I think you sign a waiver for that one.
There's an assumed risk that if you jump in a silverback gorilla cage, a silverback gorilla's going to get you.
Yeah, but it was a 4-year-old.
Survival of the fittest, baby.
4-year-old.
Ah.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I'd say probably murder the silverback.
You'd murder the gorilla?
As my kid,
Would you blame the silverback gorilla?
I wouldn't blame him.
Wouldn't you say... He's a silverback gorilla. That's kind of his thing.
No, I get it. Gorillas just going to be gorillas, you know?
They said that a tranquilizer dart wouldn't act fast enough to make him not kill the kid.
Well, no, of course not. And besides, he's just going to get pissed off, and he's going to kill the kid more in front of all these people. Really, though, of course they're going to kill this gorilla because the same people took him from the wild and threw him in a cage. So we could
look at them
once in a while.
I like zoos. I like going and looking at them.
I also like zoos, and I have like this bittersweet kind of thing with zoos where I really enjoy looking at it. I like to take my children and say, look at these amazing creatures. And then I think about it and I'm like, well, I mean, they probably shouldn't be here.
A couple of months ago, I proposed that we throw death row inmates in the lion cage and let them hunt, because that's what they want to do. They want to hunt.
I still think that's a great idea. I think I thought it was a great idea then.
And the silverback gorilla is probably the same thing. I mean, they don't want you to just throw them bananas. They want to hunt. They're creatures that hunt in the wild.
Yeah, but I don't think that they should be hunting in the little enclosures, because then their handlers come in there and they think, oh, it's an inmate. I'm going to eat him.
No, you got to give them like a uniform. The gorillas would recognize the zoo uniform.
Well, and that would make the rodeo clown zoo guy that much more appropriate, because then the rodeo zoo clown can distract the lion when like the tamer needs to go in there and change his water bowl.
And man, they gotta pay that rodeo zoo clown some real cash. You know, it's gotta be like 6 months there and 6 months away, like the fishermen and oil drillers. You gotta pay that guy a premium to be able to do that job.
Travis, did I tell you that DC Talk is back?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, Nathan.
Bullshit.
You remember DC Talk? No. They were the Jesus freaks.
They were like one of the first crossover artists that made it to like pop radio from Christian radio.
I'm not following.
They've been gone for like 20 years, and they started putting on their Facebook page all these cryptic messages about how they were coming back, and people were getting really excited. And they announced that they're going on a 3-day Caribbean DC Talk cruise.
Oh, I love band cruises.
I've seen a lot of those pop up lately. The band cruise.
Do you remember when you didn't know they existed and I told you about like the 311 cruise and you're like, bullshit, and now all you find is news stories about band cruises?
I'm really excited about band cruises.
Why do people do that? If people didn't actually sign up for those cruises, they wouldn't make them.
I don't know why you'd want to go on a cruise anyway, truthfully. It's like you're just in a hotel on the ocean and you can't go anywhere. You're just fucked. Like, you have to be on this boat with a bunch of smelly people paying 4 times going rate for a cocktail, and you have no other choice.
And you're just stuck with them. Like, what if you're just stuck with a bunch of fucking assholes?
Yeah. And then you hear all these horror stories about power going out and you can't use the shitter because they're all backflowing. Why aren't you just shitting overboard into the ocean? But second of all, like, there's just so many things that can go wrong on a boat with 1,000 other people.
Have you ever done a cruise?
No.
Never done a cruise?
It's not appealing to me.
I imagine it would be terrible.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, it might be kind of neat for, like, the first couple hours.
But then that's a whole week.
But then that wears off, right? And you're like, I'm trapped
there's
on
a
this thing.
A couple of guys that I know have gone on
with
them.
311.
Yeah. The couple of guys I know have gone on cruises, just regular cruises, and they said, yeah, once is enough. And then there's another guy that I am acquainted with that I don't care for too much as a human being, and he loves the cruises and goes on a cruise like once a year with his wife.
The themed cruises or just a cruise in general?
Just cruises in general. And just cruises in general sound awful to me.
Well, where do you go? They don't just go in the ocean and then come back, right?
They go in the ocean. You're at sea for a bit. You might port at a place where you have like 4 hours in like some place like tropical. But then you have to get back on the boat before they leave your ass. So you don't get to see the place. You just get to go on the beach for like 3-4 hours.
That seems like a long, shitty layover at an airport.
No, I don't get it.
What if we could somehow make the zoo experience and the cruise experience mingle in some kind of like wild African safari cruise?
Motherfucker, listen to me real quick before you go on with your idea. I love the idea of a zoo cruise where half of the ship is filled with caged wild animals that are pissed off, because then all this is going to do is turn into a Jurassic Park story.
Travis, can we make a zoo cruise song?
Can zoo cruise?
Won't you take me on a zoo cruise?
All kinds of animal sound effects, right?
And then it ends with the guy dying.
Write this down. We need to workshop this.
The lion got out.
We're editing this out. We're saving the Zoo Cruise song for another show later on down the road.
This is a fucking franchise because some dickhead decided, hey, the Zoo Cruise is a great idea. And every time they tested it, everybody died. And then 20 years later, they make a sequel and it's Zoo Cruise World. And everybody, it's fine, and the cruise ship is packed.
They keep having to up the ante, right? Now they have banned cruises. You can't just play shuffleboard and do the what do you call it when you're on the tube and the boat's pulling you? Tubing. You can't just tubing. You got to have silverback gorillas and lions on your cruise.
Can the title of the song for the cruise be Week Long Living Nightmare?
The smell is zoo all fucking week, like the entire week. I mean, I like zoos too, but they smell horrible, especially depending on where you are, like the primate areas.
But that ocean air, Travis.
The ocean air.
The sea breeze will blow the gorilla dookies right out.
The sequel to Zoo Cruise World, which was when they decided they finally went full-fledged with it, and then they like cross-pollinated animal genomes with others and created some weird silverback gorilla / shark, got out and killed everybody. The sequel to that, they decided to do it again, but now the sharks smell all of the zoo smells on the water, and they've evolved and get on there and also eat all of the people who paid $1,000.
Anchor in the chat is suggesting the Penelope Cruise.
Hey, Mike. Were you one of those kids that got stuck at the zoo and then the monkeys started fucking like
Napier,
in front of you
Napier,
and your friends?
Maybe you didn't get it. Yeah. Okay, Penelope Cruz is an actress.
Yeah,
and she's gonna go on a cruise, and her last name is Cruz, and it's a cruise. That joke deserved more than you guys gave it.
I'd rather go on the Terry Crews cruise.
Let's go back.
Back it up.
Anchor in the chat suggested the Penelope Cruise.
The entire staff of the Penelope Cruise is the Terry Crews crew. That's the staff on the Penelope Cruise.
And we'll also have Tom Cruise and Ted Cruise, and we'll have all the Cruises there.
And Boba Fett.
Guys.
And the guy that played Chewbacca.
We're going to take a break.
He needs either a chair or a cane.
When we come back, we have other things.
I got some shit to talk about.
I'm looking forward to that, Travis. But first,
I certainly hope so.
We have Jensen Karp, whose book comes out June 7th.
Excellent.
Be sure to check out jensenkarp.com and the Get Up on this podcast.
Get on up!
It's time for Drunk's Amazing Animal Fact. Here's your host, Drunk.
Sharks are immune to cancer.
WFOD!
The show kicked off back in 1992.
So many great moments, let's rap about a few.
Back when JT had top rhyming hair.
Oh, when Seth and James lit weed in the air.
Love it, Jane Courtney, we're a weird hosting pair.
Eminem got a whiff of Bruno's underwear.
So many kisses, it's insane. Like when Ryan and Rachel straight did it in the rain.
Robert kissed Taylor and Case through twice. Why didn't he kiss me? I think that sound nice.
So now we're here in 2016 to celebrate movies that you've actually seen.
Mac Demon up space, alone, super pissed.
I'm gonna have to science the shit out of this.
Force Awakens was a real good flick, but that dude from Girls was kind of a dick.
And Leo got fucked by a bear, oh yeah. And Leo got fucked by a bear. You'll always remember where you were when Leo got fucked by a bear.
Deadpool, how's it feel to wear the crown?
I am very turned on right now.
They build another park and people start dying, and Chris Pratt said,
evacuate the island.
Will Smith researched and he got the proof to finally make the NFL
tell the truth.
I punched an earthquake and made it stop.
And people stopped thinking that I was Chris Rock.
But no matter what happened, nothing compares.
Leo got fucked by a bear. Cause Leo got fucked by a bear, oh yeah. Leo got fucked by a bear. You always remember where you were when Leo got fucked by a bear.
I was eating pizza while taking a bath when I heard he got fucked by the bear.
I was playing Tom with Tom Hardy when Leo got fucked by a bear.
Ironically, I was fucking this bear when I heard he got fucked by a bear.
You always remember where you were when Leo got fucked by a bear.
It's Tupac, Machiavelli, the Don representing Death Row. Get what you heard. The only station that's truly representing for the streets.
Strangelabel.com.
They say that if you don't change where you're going, you know you're gonna end up right where you're headed. If you don't change where you're going, you're gonna end up right where you're headed. Untie my tongue. I wasn't listening, so I was made example of. Good advice given often, how do often get sold. I wasn't listening, so I was made example of. They say that if you don't change where you're going, you're gonna end up right where you're headed. If you don't change where you're going, you're gonna end up right where you're headed. Well, I couldn't see the cracks that were showing, the blind side of me, and I know where you're going. If you don't change where you're going, you're gonna end up right where you're headed. Hindsight isn't helping me. I wasn't mindful, I wasn't minding anyone. My stubborn sails are full of an obstinate wind. And I wasn't listening.
Hello and welcome back. Our guest tonight is Jensen Karp, whose memoir chronicling his brief career in hip-hop will be released June 7th and can be pre-ordered now at jensenkarp.com. You've been doing a lot of press this week.
But really, the reason that I even had any problem is nothing. Weirdly, has nothing to do with the book. It's just the battle raps that I've been doing this week for Corden that have really thrown everything off.
It seems like you really want to focus on promoting the book, and people keep throwing things at you that you can't really refuse. Is that
well? This one, yeah, this is a good example.
Well, and you did the thing with The Rock too, right?
Yeah, and The Rock. Yeah, it's been. I don't know. I don't think we have another one till like the 15th, so I think we're okay.
Another battle rap?
Yeah, another rap battle.
They do two like in 1 week?
We did. That was not the plan, no. But yes, it happened.
And I guess it was successful?
Yeah, it was better than I think they I would have ever expected. Yeah, I think we're at 3 million for both on YouTube. I haven't looked today, but that's what I would assume.
So you're essentially teaching people who don't know how to rap how to rap?
Yeah, we're making it better.
What does that even entail? Are you like teaching them like the accent?
Cadence, you know, it's not as hard as it's, I don't know. I've always told people it's not as hard as it seems, and people seem to believe me. And then I teach Anne Hathaway and everyone then believes me, but it's basically like, it's cadence stuff. It's like, you know, it's, if you're a good actor and you can listen to someone else talk and then mimic what they're doing, it's relatively easy.
Right. I guess, and most people have heard rap before and except me, I don't think I could do it at all. It's just kind of, you know, I took German for 3 years and my teacher, she said that I was doing Ozark German.
No, what does that even mean?
I guess I have my way of talking. I can't do impressions. I can't really do anything. I just talk the way I talk.
I get it. Yeah. you're stuck in a spot. I feel like, Anne Hathaway wasn't that surprising. You know what I mean? Like, no one was really surprised that she could rap. And then, but then the next day when we did Schwimmer, I think that was when people were like, oh, you know, I think that was sort of the enlightening, oh, they could maybe do it with anyone. So,
so maybe that's the bit, to find the person who is the most unlikely to be good at rapping.
Yeah, it makes my job the hardest. I'm down.
Who would that even be? Like Woody Allen?
Well, I mean, I roasting Woody Allen seems like a very fun, exciting thing to do. But who would be? I don't know. I think like Christopher Walken clearly could do it, but it also just would sound like him being, you know, him doing his normal voice.
Yeah, it would be Christopher Walken. Yeah. So the book is coming out next week.
The book comes out June 7th.
It's called Kanye West Owes Me $300 and Other True Stories from a White Rapper Who Almost Made It Big.
Yes, very catchy, very quick title. I'm so excited. It's been, you know, this is a dream of mine to release this book and be able to sort of end my story the right way.
Is that how you look at it, as you're ending that era with this?
And I don't even know what era. What I feel like the era ended a long time ago. This is more about like in my own head. Like, it's very difficult to have a dream and have these aspirations and stuff, and then have someone else tell you when it ends. It's you know, messes with your psyche, and it's hard to really figure out when you consider yourself, you know, fulfilled in that way. And being able to go back 15 years basically and get the chance to tell the story and put the ending you want on it, which is this book, it's kind of life-changing. It's really meant a lot to me emotionally. And I think people who've read the book and early reviews are surprised at how emotional it is, but it's a big deal for me.
So for people who don't know who you are what I, and I imagine you've probably done this enough times that I was thinking maybe I could just do it and you could just tell me when I'm wrong.
Okay, so go. You tell me.
You were 12 years old. You started a rap group with another guy. You were rapping at a bar mitzvah, and you caught the attention of somebody who's associated with Ice-T.
Yes, someone who had some light ties to Ice-T, correct?
And he said, "Hey, Ice-T, you need to hear this 12-year-old white guy who raps good."
Yeah. And at the time, a white rapper was a kid white rapper was unheard of, but a white rapper was pretty minimal, and you only had really Vanilla Ice, and he was, you know, terrible. There was a couple of people here or there, but like, you know, I was very early in that. And Donald D, who's a more obscure name within Ice-T's camp, was more our point person. So Donald ended up managing us at that age, yeah.
And you were signed to a record contract there?
No, at 12, I mean, it was as good as for me at the time. We were signed to Rhyme Syndicate, which could have got us a record deal quickly. It was just more of a management deal at that time.
And then you weren't looking to make a career at rap. It was just something you kind of did for fun at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. 12, I don't even know if you can spell career. I was more like, oh, this is a really fun hobby. It was almost like another thing because I loved hip hop so much. It was almost just like another little league, you know?
Yeah. And so then further on down the road, you just entered yourself in like a radio contest.
Yeah. The 12-year-old thing doesn't work out. Kind of strange, strange feelings kind of come together on that one. And at 19, I entered a radio contest here in LA where you battle three or four different callers. You call in and then they put you sort of in like a, you know, conference party line, and you go in turn.
So you're doing this over the phone?
Yes, at first, and yeah.
Caller 10 gets to battle rap for two tickets to see Everlast at the Blue Note?
I mean, that's very timely, considering that would have been a good prize. But unfortunately, they don't give out prizes. It was really just like a pride thing, and you would come back the next day, and the next day it was a round robin.
And you just kept beating everyone.
Yeah, the champion before me that had the most wins was 10, and I had 43.
43, so that's 43 straight days?
Yeah.
Well, in the meantime, you're also attending college for writing.
I'm a senior. I'm a junior at USC.
And just every day at 4 o'clock, you'd call in and battle rap? How do you battle rap somebody that you've never met over the phone? Do you just make fun of their voice?
Yeah, you got to talk about their voice. You got to talk about their parents. You got to talk about things you don't need to see them about.
And so, again, you're not really pursuing a rap career. I mean, you're not interrupting Puff Daddy's dinner to get a mixtape in his hands. You're just calling in and having fun on a call-in show.
Absolutely. Yeah, and, no, yeah, not an active – I was not actively trying to find a record deal. I was still rapping purely to, like, meet girls.
Was that working?
Yes. Oh, my God. In college, if you're a good rapper, oh, Lord, it was – my only calling card. Don't take it away from me.
And so a bidding war kind of starts because they want this guy who is winning these battle raps on the radio.
Yeah.
And you eventually sign a $1 million record contract with Interscope Records.
Yeah, around $1 million with Jimmy Iovine and his Interscope Records company, yeah.
And they put a lot of money behind the project, and then you work with a lot of established rap. I guess were they famous at the time? Because I mean, like, you know, Redman. Okay, Redman was probably famous then.
Yes, and he was big. Yeah,
Fabulous was big.
Definitely
then.
More famous than he is now.
Where is Redman now?
It's a great question.
Where's Fabulous now?
Fabulous is having a great career.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, Fabulous continues to be a strong sort of B-level rapper who releases like radio singles every once in a while, but he's still doing it. Redman put out an album last year, this beginning of this year, and it was actually pretty good. But, you know, hip-hop does not allow aging. We know that. So they're not as popular as they were at one time. But
and I guess the bigger names on the list would be Kanye West, Will.i.am from the Black Eyed Peas, and Mark McGrath.
And Sugar Ray, yeah.
That's the big one, right?
Oh God, please! That's what built me a house. I'm joking. I meant nothing. No one cares. The one that I do like the most. I mean, I did a song with Maya, which I really like. And then there's people like DJ Quick, which was a huge deal for me to work with him, and DJ Clue, and the production, including them and Kanye, was really sort of what I remember the most.
So that's kind of where my Google train ended, because I found that the album didn't come out, and they
correct,
were told
correct.
That we were just dropping this, but I didn't really find why. And I imagine brought up in the book.
Yeah, that makes two of us, though. There's no real official word. The official wording as to why my album came out that was delivered by a Interscope statement was scheduling conflicts, which doesn't tell you much, but, you know, over the years, there's been theories and conspiracies, and I've been called by a lot of higher up industry people to be told that, you know, the label wasn't interested in putting out any white rapper at the time while Eminem is flying.
Was Eminem kind of your nucleus to your Pied Piper, and he just kind of, then everybody was kind of like, oh, we can't also put out a white rapper?
Maybe. I mean, I never really know the answer. What I know is you know, as a radio fan, I know that they would never, you know, K-Rock would never have had Howard Stern at 11 a.m. and I miss at 1.
Right.
They would have never done that. And that's because you don't want to make Howard mad. He's, you know, selling so many ads, and there's no reason to shake your own cage. And I get it at 36 years old. It makes total sense to me. And I wasn't the only one affected. Bubba Sparks was affected a lot.
But
you know,
Bubba Sparks, other than being white, he doesn't sound like Eminem.
Right. I mean, Deliverance is one of my favorite albums that Interscope's ever put out.
Right.
And it was thrown into a trash can, you know, marketing wise. And I think that it's just no one wanted to get close to, why would you? Why would you infuriate the man who's keeping the lights on?
Right.
And I think that was the problem. I don't think that Eminem woke up one day, picked up a red phone, and said, "Don't put it out."
Don't put it out.
I think that there was a larger talk of like, why would you do that?
But isn't that kind of a trend though? I mean, like Incubus is popular, so tell those Hoobastanks to sound like Incubus, and now we have 100 Incubuses. That isn't a thing in rap, I guess.
Well, that would be, I mean, I would have to remember exactly where Hoobastank was signed, which if I knew that for sure, you should probably kill me, because that's trivia I don't need in my brain. But I know that Incubus was support. I mean, I grew up with both of them. So Incubus supported Hoobastank. I believe they were also on different labels, but Incubus was one of the reasons, you know, they took them out on the, took Hoobastank out on the road.
Oh, I didn't know that they took each other out on the road. I just know that you can't tell which one is which sometimes.
Yeah. We grew up next door to each other. So like, you know, Incubus went to Calabasas and Hoobastank went to Agoura High. So they were right next to each other and those guys influenced each other and were happy to help, you know, each other's acts. And that, we didn't have that in Interscope. There was no, it was a real weird feeling over there at times.
So they approach you, they throw a lot of money on you. They're putting all this time and effort into this project and then they just shelf it indefinitely.
Correct. Yeah.
And I mean, is there a lot of these, cause I feel like I've heard this story.
Yeah.
Why would you put that much money into something and then just change your mind?
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the sign also that my record, you know, it's the thing that shows there's a little more going on. You know what I mean?
Right.
Record labels usually don't spend that much on an album and shelve it completely. What they'll do sometimes is put out a single, it doesn't work out, and then go, well, we're not going to be able to invest in the album. I didn't have anything come out. You know, I'd never put out anything to even get a gauge to the marketplace, which is extremely rare, right? But yes, you hear a lot about sort of scrapped records and thrown away budgets, and that they're tax write-offs for companies that big.
Did you try to catch on somewhere else, or
no? Not immediately.
Did you lose your confidence in?
Yes, I lost a lot. I was 21 years old, turning 22, and I just didn't know what to do. You know, you for 3 years of my life, basically, I had been sold this kind of bill of goods that just didn't come together. And even though I had a ton of fun, and you'll read in the book, there's so many kind of funny, ridiculous things from recording with Kanye to writing with Cisco to, I mean, all these things that, like, cause I look like an accountant, you know what I mean? Like, I don't look like your normal rapper.
Right.
So like it's very fish out of water stuff. And that was the fun stuff. And then, but then to have it all screeching, you know, really was like Wednesday, I had a marketing call to get ready to put my music out. Thursday, I was told that basically they're never going to do anything again with me.
Jeez.
It was that crazy. And at that age, that's devastating.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I didn't know what to do. And I started trying to figure out other jobs and other things to my life because rap felt very, I felt like a victim. And I had tried some other business ventures sort of in those few months with that publishing money and a bunch of stuff. And when I ran out of money, someone in New York, a small independent record label was willing to put out music with me, thought that I got a, you know, unfair shake. And I took that, and that was sort of my second attempt. It was an indie deal. The advance was like $5,000, which is so much different than how much I took home from Interscope. But that $5,000 really helped me.
And so now you actually are doing things. I mean, I'm not saying that you didn't love rap, but that wasn't really what you were setting out to do. And
sort of, I mean, I loved it so much. So it's hard. I was a student of the game. I know, you know, that is what I am a nerd about. You know, people go, oh, I'm a nerd. I go, well, I'm not really a nerd, but if you put me in a room about hip hop, I will embarrass myself with how much I know and how much I care about. And that was another thing about my career, which was, you know, I talk like this. I rap like this. It's different for rap music. I was never willing to like change my voice or talk about guns or talk about drug sales or anything that was trendy at the time in 2001. Because I love it too much. I'm not willing to sacrifice this art that I appreciate people being real in.
Right.
And so I tried again and this was an indie record and my body was telling me not to do it. I knew professionally that that's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to move on and start writing, which is a career I've been lucky enough to have now, and I learned the hard way to not do something just for money, and sort of had a hard time with that, and that's sort of where the book goes.
Well, I'm looking forward to, I found you on accident,
How's that happen?
Actually, I'll tell you, I was looking for Chuck Klosterman's new book on Amazon, and
yes,
your book was suggested.
Oh, great.
And then I just kind of fell into, like, you know, when you end up going on like a 4-hour Wikipedia binge and you don't really know how it happened.
Yeah, and you find out that, like, one of the monkeys was also, like, addicted to methamphetamines. I mean, I totally understand that.
Right.
That
so I'm looking for Chuck Klosterman's book. I find your book. I think it's interesting.
Thank you.
I want to learn more. I find your podcast. Now I'm a listener of the podcast. It's a weird thing how it happens. But all in all, I'm looking forward to the book. I recommend people check it out because it's a crazy story.
It is. It's insane. And it's so funny because Klosterman is a huge influence on me. And I think, you know, if you're a big Klosterman fan, this is sort of your hip hop version of a crazy industry story that, you know, no one else can tell. It's never happened.
Hip hop Klosterman.
It is. Hip-hop with Klosterman pop. I can't come up with it. Too early. But I do very much like Chuck, and I think that's the world I live in. So I appreciate that.
So Kanye West owes me $300 and other true stories from a white rapper who almost made it big.
Yeah.
At JensenKarp.com. That's Karp with a K.
Yes.
At JensenClan88 on Twitter.
That's with a C because I'm not racist.
Right.
Right.
Jensen, I appreciate you doing this.
Thank you so much.
Thinking back to when my daddy told me what it's all about. He said, no matter what I do in life, some of y'all about. I can deal with that long as all my posts is eating good. Let that chatter pass over more than any Easter good. I'm on the roll again and I ain't talking ecstasy. Tell them folks at Interscope, they finna write some checks to me. Soon as me and Timmy finish up this latest pig slop. Man, I think you're right. It ain't nothing but some hip hop.
I could go number 1 10 times. Pretty girls don't like my rhymes. You can say, but what ain't.
In the saddle with that smiling neck of jewelry. Mama always knew how big a stallion I would grow to be. Way beyond these suckers, both lyrically and vocally. I doubted for a moment, now it's clear to me I'm supposed to be an uncanny wit, plus a timing that's impeccable. Make the sharpest cat feel his mind is just a vegetable. How does Bubba do it? You won't find it in a manual. Confused them all at first, so this time is understandable.
JensenKarp.com. Check out his site, his book. Check out his podcast. The whole damn thing, Travis.
Speaking of guests and music and people who I enjoy, I just got a notification that my Cookie Crotch Nuts pre-order has shipped.
Nice. I ordered it too. I guess you support your are we supposed to support our guests? I bought one of those Joker greeting cards too, Travis.
How was that?
I gave it to my grandma.
How did she enjoy it?
She enjoyed it. Actually, I got annoyed with it before she did. I got up and put it in the refrigerator, and she went and got it out of the refrigerator and put it back. She was really enjoying it. So
I don't support everybody that we've had on the show, but when I do enjoy them...
Tell us the people you don't support, Travis.
Oh, God, I won't do that.
You didn't support the Knopfler guy because you turned your microphone off when we were interviewing him.
No, Knopfler I talked to.
It was kind of awkward when that happened.
Wasn't it the other guy that I blew off? It wasn't Knopfler. I talked to Knopfler.
No,
who's
Knopfler?
Where did he come from?
What do you mean, where did he come from?
Like, what? Like
from
what?
Jolly old England, dude.
Yeah, but what band was he from, though? I remember talking to...
Dire Straits.
Oh, yeah. Hit my turn. Yeah, that's right.
That was also an awkward one.
I'm haunted by demons, guys.
What kind of demons?
I have demons because...
Memorial Day demons?
Whenever I do one of these interviews, I think of 10 things I should have talked to them about afterwards. And I feel weird, like, when it ends, because I think that, like, when I've been on other podcasts, they, like, chat with you for a couple of minutes and they're like, hey, we're going to start. And then we start doing the podcast. But, like, when you call in to be on our show, we do the show right away.
And then
when the show is over, I hang up. And I think when I talked to Jensen, I think I was supposed to not hang up.
And then say thank you.
Because then he like texted me. He was like, hey, thanks, man. I was like, oh, should I? Shit! I should have stayed on and like said thanks and stuff. And I did kind of, but I didn't. You know what I mean? And I'm haunted by that. Now I don't think Jensen Karp likes me, Travis.
That's why that people don't enjoy calling into Morning Zoo Radio, is because that's what they get.
That's not the only thing.
What's the other thing?
Brett from the Hot Butter podcast the other day, he posted a photograph on his Facebook page.
What's the photograph? It's on the Hot Butter Facebook page?
No, on his personal Facebook page.
Well, aren't we special that we know...
What the hell happened to Travis?
Did you just hang up on him?
Where did Travis go? What I was saying.
Did you put him on hold?
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Where did Travis go?
Isn't Skype great?
I was in the zone, Napier. I was doing a whole goddamn thing. And then it got fucked up.
I heard drinking helps with everything.
I don't understand. You know, you try to like go seamless, and seamless never works. And you know what's funny? Brett called at some point during the interview, and when that happened, I was able to just add him to the group call. But then this time, I wasn't for some reason.
Well, he hung up, so Skype was like, "Hey, you obviously don't want to talk to this person."
He's clearly not that important.
Motherfucker.
I'm here now.
But yeah, he's here now. So,
I'm haunted by demons, Napier.
Have you tried drinking?
And I'm really concerned about this thing that Brett from the Hot Butter podcast posted on his Facebook wall. He posted this photograph of a man's car that was littered with pancakes. Over 40 pancakes. And Brett is actually on here to talk to me about the pancakes because he had an eyewitness account of the pancakes in question.
Excellent.
Do you ever find that you sit in your vehicle longer than you need to in order to peruse social media so that you don't have to answer to your to what you're doing when you go into the house amongst other people? Do you do that, or am I the only one?
Like sit in your car longer than you should?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's very commonplace for me to leave the gym and sit in my car before I go home to my miserable life and look at Facebook, look at Instagram, look at Twitter, maybe even LinkedIn to see if anybody's reached out to me. I think I probably do it every single time. I think I probably sit in my car every single time I leave the gym and just kind of peruse social media. And just the other day, I happened to catch out of my peripheral vision a gaggle of teenagers. I think there was four. I think there was two young ladies and two young men. And I just assumed they were getting into this vehicle to leave. But in fact, when I picked my head up, and around my surroundings, I realized they had actually slathered this Toyota Corolla in sand dollar size pancakes.
It was over 40 pancakes.
It was a lot of goddamn pancakes.
And I don't know where all the pancakes come from. He just posts this picture, and he doesn't have more information for me, and it haunts me.
So like any good 40-something MILF, I belong to a Planet Fitness.
Brett.
And, Brett, yes.
I'm going to hang up on you.
I'm sorry.
I want to get Travis back, and then I'm going to get you back, and then we're going to talk about pancakes. Don't worry,
sir.
I'm going to edit all of this out.
I'm not worried in one bit.
I want Travis on the fucking show, Napier.
I'm sure Travis appreciates it.
I don't want
to
talk to Brett from Hot Butter Podcast without my Travis. Travis!
What?
What the
bullshit?
Fuck?
What kind of bullshit is that? You add this fucking Hot Butter son of a bitch and then he kicked me off the fucking show?
I wasn't able to call you.
Wondering what the hell's going on for 5 minutes? This is how I spend my Memorial Day?
I was continuously adding you to group call, Travis.
It didn't fucking work.
I was adding you to the group call, and it said call failed repeatedly.
Hello? I got a message that says maybe I can't join this call because I don't have my Skype updated.
Travis.
And you know what? I will never update Skype.
Travis.
Ever.
Travis.
What?
I'm haunted by demons, Travis.
Yeah.
He posted this picture of a car covered in pancakes.
Were they covered in butter and syrup, or just pancakes?
Were they dry pancakes, Brett?
Sadly, they were dry, silver dollar or sand dollar-sized IHOP pancakes.
They were of the smaller variety, these pancakes.
Sand dollar's racist. You shouldn't say that.
Middle Eastern pancakes.
And so Brett's in his car.
Yeah.
He's just hanging out in his car outside of an IHOP Planet Fitness combo deal.
I don't just hang out outside of IHOPs. Like I said previously,
No, Brett, we edited all that out.
Wasn't I supposed to get some Qdoba gift certificates or something from this guy?
Oh, you didn't get those?
No.
No, me and Napier split them amongst ourselves, Travis.
Fucking
you
asshole.
You live in fucking Wisconsin.
I was going to say, I don't even know if we have any restaurants in Wisconsin.
Yeah, you do. I might have to travel an hour or so, but I
Brett,
get that.
Yeah.
Your image, it haunted me.
I'm sorry.
Similar to the questions that I should have asked Hot Carl.
Hot Carl. I'm haunted by
the aftermath. Did you wait to see the gentleman find his car covered in pancakes?
I stayed there a good 5 minutes after these hooligans just defaced this Toyota Corolla.
Was it a drive-by situation where they threw the pancakes and then took off?
Yes, they did it, got into a different vehicle, and then left.
Who's wasting perfectly good pancakes to throw them
46 pancakes, Travis.
46. That's ridiculous.
Now, this person, or these people, one of them has to be an IHOP employee.
Yeah, so the gym that I belong to is immediately next door to an IHOP.
Oh, which, a gym. Ooh, yeah. Mr. In Shape and Fit and Healthy and stuff.
Hey, listen, that elliptical that elliptical machine is not going to run itself. I think one of the hoodlums that maybe got off his morning shift and some of his friends thought it'd be funny to slather up this car with old pancakes.
So you know who it was. It's the guy who works at the pancake.
That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. Pancakes, you know, you just kind of like knock them off there. I made the mistake one time back in my teenage years when we worked at a restaurant. Somebody fucked with me. I can't remember exactly what they did, but my retribution was to take a vat of mayonnaise. You work in a restaurant, get a giant vat of mayonnaise, and I put it every place he would possibly touch on his car. Underneath the like little door handle, I put it in the back of his steering wheel, in the back of his turn signal. The thing that I didn't think about being 16, 17 years old was that if it's 90 some degrees outside, you're either going to be baking that fucking mayo on there or it's going to be stinking real bad. He was not my friend for a very long time after I pulled that thing.
Guys,
the condiment assassin.
Guys, I don't know if you know this, but me and Napier, a long time ago, used to work at Pizza Hut.
I've heard. St. Lunatics for life.
And there was a gentleman that we used to work with. This was back when we were cooks, before like the 3 or 4 months when we were both promoted to managers because we established that we were able to spell. And
and you worked there for 2 weeks.
Right. They were like, hey, these guys know how to spell. Give them the keys. But anyway, there was this fella that we worked with back on the cook table that always used to talk about how he wanted to kill himself. And we hated this guy because he was a fucking bummer, man. You know, we were youthful gentlemen. We had our whole lives ahead of us. And we didn't want to hear about this guy talking about killing himself all the time.
Look at you now.
Should have got him.
He's more than likely dead, right?
Oh, he was easily like 200 pounds overweight.
Yeah, he was a big fella to boot, but I'm sure he's probably killed himself. He worked at a grocery store, and he used to give us free groceries. Like like we weren't friends with this guy. He just wanted to be cool. So like every four things, he'd run over the bar thing. He would just like scoot past. And
that should have automatically made him your friend.
No, we hated this guy. He sucked.
Yeah, he kept talking about killing himself.
I would always sneak out the back door with the plastic bags of green peppers, and I'd piss in the empty plastic bag of green peppers and tie it to his door handle. Because my theory was that he would have to untie my piss bag and it would probably get piss on him, or he would leave the piss bag on his car, which would be even better.
This guy gave you every fourth bag of Doritos for free.
And that was years later, Travis, and it was all in good fun. He thought it was funny, I think.
Well, we had...
Did he ever say, hey, you know how you're always pissing in bags and putting them on my car? That's pretty good stuff.
Travis, I'm haunted by the demons of this pancake picture. Because I want to know what else happened. I want to know if this is a common thing. I want to know if these guys work at IHOP, if they collect the pancakes over a period of time. Obviously, you don't get the all-you-can-eat pancakes and start hiding pancakes.
You want all of these answers. Yeah. All you have to do is subscribe to the Hot Butter Podcast.
He doesn't have the answers, though, Travis.
He will. About this. Upcoming episode, all the answers shall be revealed. I've got the inside scoop.
Oh, I got it. That's how you can tell when you've been promoted.
So when you go to the IHOP and you get all-you-can-eat pancakes, $4.99, they bring you out three pancakes. If you eat those three pancakes, they will continuously bring you two pancakes until you stop requesting pancakes.
Is this true?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Huh.
Interesting.
So if you're collecting 43 pancakes to cover your friend's car, you would have to hide a lot of pancakes and act very uncomfortable to get the necessary amount of pancakes. Like, if you're a
however,
patient, oh my God, I've just divided 43 pancakes.
Bring me three more. If you divide the task by four people, it doesn't seem as daunting.
Okay, yeah, I guess. But, like, how do you get the pancakes out of the restaurant?
Purses.
Trash bag.
Oh, yes. A nice Gucci purse.
Yep.
You just empty out the contents of your bag, bring in empty bags, and then just fill it with pancakes.
If I do my best to envision what I saw, they had a to-go container. So it has to be an in job.
Why is the chat talking about Denny's and Cracker Barrel? We're talking about IHOP. It was an IHOP, right, Brett?
It was an IHOP.
Yeah, stop talking IHOP. About Denny's. Talk about IHOP and their delicious pancakes.
They're delicious.
I'm sorry, Brett.
I love when they do that confetti and they make them like confetti cake. Mm-mm.
I can't eat while a Cracker Barrel.
While I was sitting in my vehicle looking at this, I kept thinking, where are the crows?
The crows ate well. What's happening here?
Were you eating a salad in your vehicle after coming from the gym, you fucking jerk?
I was looking at Twitter and Instagram and all the hot ladies on Instagram.
Drinking a shaky algae shake.
Brett, have you ever been on a cruise?
No, my wife won't go.
Travis. Sell Brett from the Hot Butter Podcast the zoo cruise.
Have you ever wanted to see a bunch of wild animals outside of their natural habitat? Have you
Absolutely.
Also wanted to spend 10 times the natural amount of money for a Captain and Coke? Well, come on to the water, where you can't escape the water closet, where you have 2x2 closets to shit all of your delicious shrimp cocktail into the toilet.
Nothing could go wrong with a tiger on a cruise ship, right?
Oh, God, it sounds so great.
You ever wanted to play Frisbee with an orangutan? Well, you can on the zoo cruise.
Everyone to take you on a zoo cruise.
I feel like this is the sequel to that movie Zombies, right?
Zombies. Where
it's like the zombie fucking...
Wait, are these on speedboats?
Yeah, now they're on speedboats. Yes, nice. Okay.
That was the joke last time, Travis. Yeah.
Okay, I got it. I didn't hear it last time either. I just finally, 3 weeks later, got it.
You just got it just now?
Just now.
See, because it's a Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Bees.
Like Zoom by.
Yeah, they drive really fast, these zombies.
I should listen back sometimes. Maybe I'll catch these things. Let's get this hot butter guy out of here.
Brett.
Yeah.
Give people links and shit.
To your show.
Yeah, to your show. Tell people stuff. Or don't, Brett. Or just sit there like a doof and say nothing.
I think Let's Travis get... offended him.
You can follow the Hot Butter Podcast. He went away! You can follow Hot Butter Podcast at Hot Butter Pod. It's Brett and Adam or adamandbrett.com. It's one of the two. Like, one of them is like guys that climbed a mountain, and the other one is his podcast.
And I truthfully am a big fan. This was all in jest. I highly recommend that you go follow them and also listen to their show.
Right. What else do we got? Napier, you had a thing. Talking hockey with Napier.
So.
Slapshot.
So this man beats the shit out of his wife.
Okay.
And he happens to be a hockey player for the LA Kings. Well, the NHL said that, hey, remember when that football player drug his wife around a hotel and they had cameras on him? We really shouldn't be seen associated with that. So they told the hockey player that slapped his wife around his fucking house to not come back.
You're out.
Yeah, like, hey, don't come back. We kind of don't want you here. You punched your wife in the face. And he said, okay, fine. I'll just go back to Russia and play in the Russian league.
Right.
Well, there's a World Cup of hockey coming, and it's sponsored by the NHL. And all the countries get their players together. And the Russian team wanted to send this guy.
Because he's good at hockey.
Yeah, he's really good at hockey and also, you know, slapping women.
Right.
So...
But only one of them really comes into play. In the
we
World
have
Cup
to be
hockey.
Able to separate the art from the artist.
Well, I mean, it kind of helps in hockey. Like, you got to fight people in hockey, right?
Sure.
I mean,
probably not in the World Cup of hockey. I imagine that's mostly finesse.
Yeah, you'd hope so. But then again, you know, they could invite a woman there, and they got to send him
so
out.
The World Cup of hockey said, no.
No, you can't.
Homie's banned.
Yeah, you can't come here and do that. And the... Russians didn't like that. They said, well, it's our team. It's our country. Why can't we bring who we want? And they said, you can bring anybody you want as long as they don't get on camera and slap women.
So are they going to boycott?
No, they're just going to pick somebody else.
Oh. Remember when they put that weird trail thing on the pucks in hockey?
Yeah, the
maybe
the
they
Fox
could do a parody thing. Video of this guy beating his wife and there's like a trail behind his fist.
Those hilarious wife-beating parodies, you know.
Oh, remember when they used to put the flames on the goalie's glove when they would catch it? Like, you just see your face erupt in flames.
Did you see the thing about Johnny Depp beating his wife?
Oh, yeah. Amber Heard has got all the black eyes, and that makes me think so much less of Johnny Depp.
I read an opinion piece by Doug Stanhope where he was defending Johnny Depp and said that Amber Heard is blackmailing him. I guess, like, the blackmail part is probably over, though.
Is that because of the dogs? That they...
No, like, they're getting divorced. And, see, I would think that the blackmail would probably come before, like, she goes out in the press and says she's getting beat up. So, like, he must have not accepted her blackmail proposal.
Which is so amazing to me because that Australia dog video came out, like, what, 3 weeks ago? So that means they were traveling together while filming a motion picture, and now they're getting divorced?
Well, I mean, they were husband and wife 3 weeks ago, and now they're getting divorced.
Right, but, like, did they...
And the dog thing probably affected both of them. I imagine Australia was mad at both of them.
Johnny Depp is going to be in my state in about 3 weeks to, play at a rock festival.
Is he in a band?
Yeah, Hollywood Vampires. It's with like Joe Perry. Is Joe Perry from Aerosmith? Well, whoever the Perry guy is.
Joe Aerosmith. Perry from Aerosmith.
And then Alice Cooper. They have a band called Hollywood Vampires.
That sounds really dumb.
Yeah, but how also awesome would it be to see Johnny Depp at a rock and roll festival in the middle of... This rock and roll festival that I used to go to is Rockfest in Cadott, Wisconsin. It's literally in the middle of nowhere. You drive past farmers' fields for many an hour and then end up in the middle of nowhere where there's a campground and a giant stage for all these like huge bands to play in for 3-4 days.
Huh.
It's great.
So do you think that he's going to cancel his appearance?
Oh, no way. He's there.
The bad press
that he's receiving
for his alleged wife beating.
Why? He's not a football player or a basketball player or fucking baseball player.
He's still affected by negative press. His movie film bombed.
Johnny Depp is immune to bad press. He made that fucking tourist movie with Angelina Jolie like 5 years ago and still pumps out like 2-3 movies a year. He's fine. He's doing a Kevin Smith movie where he's investigating little bratwurst Nazis.
Oh, that sounds like a real winner.
He's doing
just like that last one he made. Boy, that was a good movie.
What was the last one?
The one where the guy turned into the walrus.
Oh shit!
He's just checked out, man.
I haven't seen a Johnny Depp movie in probably 7 years, so I guess I don't know.
Travis, we do have a Hollywood Fantasy League update.
Nice. Give it to me.
The Hollywood Fantasy League, of course. Is our answer to fantasy sports, where you draft 4 films. The scores are tabulated by a combination of Metacritic score and box office results. There was 3 movies that finished this week. The Nice Guys.
Ooh, I want to see that.
It was not great. Now, here's the thing, Travis. The Nice Guys was fine.
Is it not Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
It was not Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which is what I was hoping it would be.
Oh, God damn it! That's what I was hoping for, too.
I was expecting it to be good. I was hoping it to be good. It was just okay. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, I hated it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
Like, if I didn't have expectations for it to be great, I would be pleasantly surprised to find it on cable.
So you're saying it's Shane Black, who made one of the best movies ever. And a couple of really great actors set in the 70s, right? So it's got that 70s vibe.
Right.
And you were expecting a lot from it. It delivered basic entertainment.
It was fine. It was fine.
I get it.
It made $22 million, had a 70% Metacritic for 15 points. That was Bad Flix's pick.
You had to know nobody was going to see that movie, right?
Angry Birds. Made $66 million, had a 43% Metacritic. That was one of our picks. I believe that was our 4th round pick.
I'm surprised it made that much.
28 points for Angry Birds. And Neighbors 2 finished with $38 million, a 58% Metacritic for 22.
That's pretty good for a comedy sequel.
Yeah, not bad.
Not bad, not bad.
So what's on deck this week? X-Men, I would imagine,
X-Men,
right?
X-Men came out this past weekend. You said you went and saw it.
I did see it, and I'll tell you what, this is exactly what I thought about it. See what I thought about X-Men Days of Future Past, and X-Men 1 and 2 and 3, and First Class, and I thought the exact same thing about this one. It was fine. It was pretty good.
It was X-Men-y, I believe is what you said.
It was very X-Men-y. It made me feel exactly like I was watching a sequel to all those other X-Men movies.
You're like, this is about like an X-Men movie.
Yeah. I've never been blown away by an X-Men movie. I've always been entertained and thought there was some really cool shit in them. And I walked out and I was like, yep, just watched an X-Men movie and stopped thinking about it immediately.
So I will definitely see X-Men sometime this week. I will have a review for you guys next week. I know that Travis's movie reviewing may not be the most trusted thing on the podcast, seeing as he liked Batman vs. Superman.
Motherfucker, you shut your mouth about that.
So, I mean, if you guys are waiting to hear, you know, what the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks thinks before you go see your shows.
I would hope you weren't.
So how was Psylocke's tits?
No, she was great. They knew what they were working with Olivia Munn. So she said literally 3 sentences in the entire movie. And then just got to spin around a couple of times.
What does that mean? Does that mean that you think she's a bad actress?
Have you seen any movies that she's been in where she's been able to talk?
Her TV shows aren't horrible.
Her TV shows are fine, but that's because they're on Fox and they're supposed to be what they are. They're casting a chick that used to host Attack of the Show on G4, and that's what they got. But you don't want that in a major motion picture. So she kind of looked
Why did they cast her to be that? Because she kind of looks like she could be that character? Well, yeah, is that what they based it on?
They're just like, so she petitioned for it too, because she's very dedicated to that shit, and she I still think she's pretending to be somebody who enjoys this kind of thing, but you know, she's a vocal fandom person, so I think Bryan Singer was into her.
Have I told you that I'm haunted by demons? Do you think me and Jensen Karp are friends?
No.
Probably not, no. Mike, you know what really worries me and keeps me up at night? I want Hellboy to be Cable in the new Deadpool movie that's coming out.
Should be Tom Hanks.
Why Tom Hanks?
Because he'd make a great Cable.
No, he'd make a horrible
Cable. Watch Saving Private Ryan and tell me that isn't a good Cable.
That would be a shitty Cable.
Badass Tom Hanks. I'm not talking about the burbs. I'm talking about fucking badass Tom Hanks.
Yeah, but he doesn't look like Cable. The comic book movies got to look like him.
He could look like Cable.
I don't believe you.
Okay. You don't have to.
These fucking misspellings in chat are driving me insane.
Somebody spelled Hoobastank wrong, and it's Bobby.
Without an A, right, and now somebody spelled Psylocke with a C. I'm losing my fucking mind over here.
What are you going to do about it, though? I mean,
I'm going to... When the show is over, I'm going to walk away from my computer, and then I'm going to be done with it. But right now, I'm losing my mind.
Yeah, Psylocke, it has like a P in it, right?
It's a P-S. Yeah. It's P-S and it's C-H.
Psylocke. Mm-hmm. Like that. Travis is paying attention.
C-H! It's a C-H!
Travis is paying attention to the spelling in the chat room, Napier. That's... We're boring him, obviously, right?
Apparently.
This fucking anchor.
Napier, what is it that you'd like to tell the people to make sure that they do? I want to... Let me cut in here real quick. M&M's with almonds in them?
No.
Delicious.
No.
I'm for them.
No, love that's them. How I cracked a tooth on a peanut M&M.
Your teeth suck then. Go get those fixed.
Yeah, those are pretty weak teeth if you're cutting them on a peanut, buddy.
Well, yeah, when I played hockey, I didn't have like a thing in front of my teeth, just two steel studs and some plastic.
They're putting in the chat that Travis must be on his period.
Is there a spelling period?
Really got me, guys.
Travis, what do you want to tell the people?
Listen to me. Ecto Cooler is back today.
Oh, shit.
Ecto Cooler is back today. It's in stores. I made a little pilgrimage to try to find it in my shitty little town. I cannot find Ecto Cooler yet. I imagine that I will get it. I would like for you all to tweet me pictures of the Ecto Cooler that you have found locally. And also tell me where the fuck I can get it.
At
because
Produce
I need to,
Travis.
At Produce Travis. I need some Ecto Cooler. So,
Travis,
I was going to.
Do you want Ecto Cooler because you want to drink it, or do you want to start stockpiling it so you can sell it on eBay in a year?
I might do a little of both. Okay? Because if Ghostbusters flops, that there will not be another sequel, and that means Ecto Cooler will be a thing of the past again. So I saw somebody today on Facebook, this nostalgia guy, he writes a lot of nostalgia articles about the 80s and 90s. He had found a flat of 24 cans of Ecto Cooler, and it just got me fucking rock hard. So I was looking for that. I didn't find the juice boxes. I didn't find the cans. I want to drink it. I was hoping to participate in the show tonight, by drinking Ecto Cooler and vodka.
There's always next week, right?
I hope so.
Ecto Cooler and vodka sounds amazing.
Doesn't that sound like the best thing that ever happened to your life?
Are we doing that too, Napier? We're going to have a Ecto Cooler vodka night next week?
We have to,
part
right?
Part of your childhood, and also you are an adult, so you can put alcoholic beverages in there. Sounds interesting to me.
Hey, guys, do us a fucking favor, okay? Last week we got absolutely no social media interaction. Make sure you tweet JensenClan88 and tell him you heard him on the show and you liked it, for fuck's sake. We got no at Wheeler Walker Juniors last week.
And that was a good interview.
Wake the fuck up, people!
I like
if you
that
guys
interview.
Don't tweet to these fucking people we talk to, nobody will be on the show.
Not even me! I'll probably be here.
Well, I'm barely here anyway, so...
Napier, what do you have to tell the people?
The Red Letter Media guys are probably going to have the new Star Wars Mr. Plinkett out soon. You should probably watch that.
That's something to look forward to.
Yeah, it's awesome. Also, Hellboy should be Cable in the new Deadpool.
I don't think Ghostbusters looks that bad. I think
That looks like a fucking train wreck of shit.
I think it looks kind of fun.
It looks like it might be fun. It might be terrible.
I saw when I watched X-Men Apocalypse, I saw it in 3D. The 3D and the Ghostbusters trailer looked pretty great. I'll totally watch it. I hope it's good.
I'm going to watch it. I just don't think it's going to be very good.
I don't like to go into things with preconceived notions. I am wide
what
open.
What ruined the nice guys?
Very positive. I'm a very positive person.
Well, that's my mama.
Travis, we did not pander to another podcast.
Oh, motherfucker. And I didn't even pull one, actually.
And we probably should thank the good turnout in chat tonight. That's something we should do, right?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
Thanks, everybody.
Hey, we're really happy that everybody stopped by to listen to our show tonight on your Memorial Day. I hope everybody had a really nice extended weekend.
Let's pander to... The Two Morons Podcast.
That's a thing?
Yes. Follow the Two Morons Podcast because they're friends of ours.
Is Uniformed Opinion still a thing?
They did like one show a couple of months ago.
Oh, well, let's go because they let's thank them for their service.
Oh, yeah. It's Memorial Day. Why did we not do it? It's the Memorial Day show, Travis.
Oh, come on, ye faith.
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
Live Monday nights at 9/8 Central on strangelabel.com. There's an interactive chat room. It's a whole thing. You can listen to back episodes and find all the other great things that we have on our website at wfodix.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at WFODshow. You can't follow Napier on Twitter.
Send your thoughts and prayers, and the angels will deliver it upon me.
We can be followed on the Facebook at facebook.com/WFODix. Be sure to tell all of your friends they should also follow us, because those sweet, sweet likes are very important to the overall success of the show. You can call live or leave a voicemail that we may play on the show at 636-487-HAND. That is 636-487-4263. Or you can email us WFODshow@gmail.com. What is your name on like video game systems so people can play video games with you?
It's X Extra, the word zero.
X Extra.
X the letter.
X
the letter.
Extra.
Extra the word. Zero the word. And then X.
X
as the letter.
As the letter.
Do you have a Twitch account, Napier?
Oh no! Wait, no, it isn't X Extra. It's X.
You don't
extra
even know
zero.
What it is.
No, I don't get on there.
You should have a Twitch account so people can watch you play video games.
Why would anybody want to watch me play video games?
I don't know. And then like you could do commentary on it, like, yep, shot that guy.
I guess. Well, fucked again. Thanks, server lag. Eat dicks.
We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening.
Back in 2000, I was so important. My career took a turn. I'm BoJack Horseman. Now I'm just a guy with a story never finished. And the problem with those physics is my skills never diminished. Listen, I'm only getting better with age like antiques. To come back decades later like Twin Peaks. Catch me in your town driving in a minivan with a crew that's more lit than that shitty 90s band. Understand, the first time around was a test. So I could resurrect it, be considered amongst the best. Put pen to pad to spell out the catalyst that had me making songs of Will.i.am and Fabolous. But thank Random House, because they literally saving me. The system fucked me up. Y'all could call me Steve. Even Avery. And sleeping on Carl's a real bad look, cause I'm fucking up the track like Phil Collins did to Hook. I'm Michael Fassbender and Frank when I perform. I wear the big head to protect the art form. The industry's a beast and I'm just trying to stay warm in a shirt and board shorts in the midst of ice storms. I've never been the norm, smiling bright for your enjoyment. White kid in the game before these other dorks destroyed it. Confused by the way rap sounds in 16. Got me feeling like Encino Man, you know what I mean? Cause rap used to be fun. Now I'm Rocky in the ring punching out Tommy Gunn. You put me on a mission to come back even better and emotional. I'm like Drake in his favorite sweater. 36 years old and still rapping, and that's important. Cause there really aren't that many words that I could rhyme with mortgage. My book drops in the first week of June, but you could pre-order it to make sure it arrives soon. To hear the story about how I went from average nerd to the greatest white rapper that you probably never heard. To stories about Tyrese and Cisco that are absurd. And Kanye owes me $300 and that's my word. So go to your local bookstore on the day that it drops and get excited like Jared Fogle when he's watching Sandlot, and get excited because you're about to read how I was once on top of the rap game. Then I abruptly stopped.